You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Bruce Bailey, the president and CEO of the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. Mr. Bailey, thanks for joining us today.
Well, listen, thank you for inviting me, and good afternoon.
Now, would you prefer to be called Mr. Bailey or Bruce?
Actually, Bruce is fine. I like that very much.
Okay. All right, Bruce. Bruce, I saw an article online, Mount Soledad Cross Supporters Appeal Removal Ruling. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment. But before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
Wow. I don't know how far you want to go back.
Let's go back. I guess you're ex-military, so let's start there. You can even start where you're from. Where were you born?
I can tell you this. I was born in Dayton, Ohio, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Back in 1945, I grew up in a place called Fishkill, New York. That's F-I-S-H-K-I-L-L. It's up the Hudson near West Point, about 60 miles outside New York City. I went to undergraduate at Denison University in Ohio. I went to the University of Toledo Law School. I then went through ROTC, so this was during the Vietnam era, and I went to law school, got out, and I went into the United States Air Force as a judge advocate and was on active duty for 4 years. And then when I got out of the Air Force in 1975, I went into the Air Force Reserves and spent another 26 years for a total of 30 years as a judge advocate and retired as a full colonel, 06.
Okay. And for the listeners, let them know exactly what a judge advocate is and does.
Sure. The judge advocate general is the number one lawyer in the Air Force. And what I did when I was in the Air Force is did court martials for prosecution and defending. We did anything that needed the legal work in the military or specifically in the Air Force. And then when I went in the reserves, of course, I got different assignments. I was back at SAC headquarters when that was standing in Omaha, Nebraska, went to the Pentagon for 4 years and ended up at Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii. You know, as you progress and get a little older, you do more sophisticated type of legal work and projects. And I can tell you that during those years, I was a civilian lawyer, but I also did a lot of days as a judge advocate in the reserve duty.
Hickam Air Force Base, that's tough duty there, Bruce.
Well, you know, that was the end of my 30 years, and I spent 3.5 years there. And as I used to tell my wife, sweetheart, somebody's got to do this.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of good. I feel that all reservists, not just the Air Force type and or JAG type, but all reservists do a lot of good for this country because the price is right. We don't have to pay a full-time salary.
Exactly. And you want to know something funny? I think I used those exact words when I was at the beach at Hickam Air Force Base, surrounded by palm trees and the beautiful scenery. You know, I was like, God, oh, somebody's got to do it. Hickam is just gorgeous, just gorgeous.
That's right.
And I wanted to ask, because I'm familiar with Fishkill because I'm in New Jersey. I don't think I've been there, but I always wondered, did they get the name from fish dying in the Hudson because it was polluted, or is that another reason for its etymology?
Actually, there's another reason for it. You know that the Hudson River Valley was settled by the Dutch, and Kill is a Dutch word for creek. So it was Fish Creek, and Fishkill has a creek that runs right by it, and that's how it got its name. And you'll be familiar with Peekskill, Wallkill. There are many, many villages in the Hudson River Valley that have that same nomenclature.
Yes, I am. Thank you for explaining that. Let's get to this issue. It just, to me, from what I've read and from what I've learned and from speaking with Bob a little bit ago, he gave me a great rundown of the matter here. Now, it seems like this cross was put up there right after the Korean War ended. Is that right?
That's correct. The first cross on Mount Soledad was put up in 1913, and I won't go through the history of two crosses, both of them being wooden. One of them blew down, one of them burned down. And this cross, the big one that is up there now, it was put up in 1954, and it was put up as a memorial to those soldiers returning home from Korea.
Mm-hmm. And this is in La Jolla.
This is in La Jolla. It's right in La Jolla. And if you go on to our website, the first thing you will see is an aerial view of the cross and the memorial walls. And it is probably one of the most dramatic and beautiful places. It's about 900 feet up, and it has a 360-degree view of all of San Diego. If you look to the north, you will see Torrey Pines Golf Course and the West Coast. If you look west, you'll see the ocean. If you look south, you will see Mexico and the Mexican islands that are off San Diego. And if you look east, you'll see some mountains. So literally from the mountains to the sea, you can do it pretty much all within, you know, a very short period of time.
And I was stationed in San Diego in the Navy for a bit, and I've been to La Jolla plenty of times, and that's a more tough duty. And La Jolla is a gorgeous, gorgeous town. And sadly, I never visited the Cross as a young sailor, really. You know how it is, right? I mean,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
What Cross, you know? I mean, let's go to the bar or let's look for...
PB.
What's that?
Let's go to Pacific Beach.
There you go. Exactly. Or Black's Beach, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I should say that the website is this the one you're talking about? SoledadMemorial.com?
Yes. That's it.
Okay. And Soledad is spelled S-O-L-E-D-A-D, and of course, memorial.com, all lowercase, no spaces. Seems like from what I've learned about this issue is that over the many decades, and now I've learned that it's even been, 100 years since something has been up there, over the century, it seems like this cross has been attacked by various individuals and groups. Would that be fair to say?
Well, this started out actually 25 years ago, or in 1988-89, a fellow named Philip Paulson, who was an atheist, sued to have the cross taken down. And we have been in litigation for the last 25 years defending the cross as it is part of the memorial. If you want, I could explain to you that we have a memorial, and if you can see the pictures, the original walls went in 2000, and we have 3,400 plaques on those walls honoring veterans. And in February of this year, we put up 5 more memorial walls, and we have spaces for another 2,400 plaques honoring veterans from all wars. This memorial site is unique because it's the only one like it in the United States, the only one. And it's unique for a couple of reasons. Number one, the veterans on the walls are both living and deceased. Unlike the Vietnam Memorial, where there are people on there who are all deceased, we have veterans who are living and deceased. And an interesting statistic is that approximately 70% of the plaques on the walls are for living veterans.
Wow.
That's number one. Number two, you'll see as you scroll through our website, the plaques have photographs of the veterans. And we have veterans, as I said, from all wars, starting back in the Revolutionary War through the Civil War, all the way up to the present conflicts. And third, we have a short biography of each veteran. So literally, if you went up there and started looking at the plaques, there are over 3,000 plaques with individual stories about each veteran and what they did while they were in the military.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually at the site, and I clicked on that plaques tab, and I see President Reagan up there.
Yes, we have a number of presidents. We have President Reagan, we have President Ford, President Eisenhower. Veterans are veterans, whether they be non-commissioned officers and or officers. So we have officers enlisted. We have Medal of Honor recipients up there. I believe we have about 9 of them, one of them being Audie Murphy, who, as you know, was the most decorated soldier
right.
in World War II.
Amazing.
We have John Baca and John Finn from San Diego. John Finn just passed away about a year ago. He was a big supporter of the Memorial Association and the walls, and he was a Medal of Honor recipient from Pearl Harbor, and he died at 101 years of age.
Wow.
So we have quite a, you can allow this, potpourri, quite a vast, different plaques that are up there, and they're all individual and worth reading.
Mm-hmm. And just so I'm clear on this, that fella in the late 80s who, I guess, launched a lawsuit against the memorial because he was an atheist, the litigation has been going on against him or with him for this whole time or other
okay.
groups?
He was the plaintiff in the lawsuit, meaning he brought the lawsuit, and what he asked the court system to do was to take the cross down because he claimed it was a religious symbol, and we know that the Constitution does not allow the government to put any religion in front of another, the separation of church and state. We are of the opinion, and we believe it to be factually true, and it is, that the cross, although it's a Latin cross, and it may have some religious significance to any person or individual, that it, as a whole, in that memorial, its purpose is to signify the fact that we are honoring veterans and that it is part and parcel of our being able to honor veterans. I mean, look at Normandy. Look at Arlington Cemetery. There are crosses there. And those crosses are there to serve as a remembrance of what these veterans did for us. That's what we say that this particular cross is, and that's the difference in opinion, and that's why this lawsuit is continuing.
Okay, so this lawsuit from this atheist fella, he's still involved in it?
Mr. Paulson passed away a number of years ago, and now he has been replaced with another plaintiff. His name is Stephen Trunk, and so it's the same lawsuit that's been going through the court system that started back in 1988.
I didn't know that if someone had passed on, that somebody else could jump on the same lawsuit.
Yes, it's called substituting a party, one party for another. And it's certainly legal, and that's where we are on that issue.
And this fellow, you said Stephen Trunk. Did I hear you right? Trunk, like a trunk of a car?
Correct.
Okay. Did he know the other fella?
I don't know that. It's not a requirement.
Why did he jump into it? Do you know the background of that?
I don't know. I have never asked him that. I can assume the reason that he agreed to participate is because his thoughts and ideology are the same as Mr. Paulson's, and that is that he thinks that the cross should be taken down. I know that to be the case, that he wants the cross taken down.
Right. And is he affiliated with any organizations?
I'm not aware of that. I do know that the Jewish National War Veterans are also a party to this, and they are being represented by the ACLU.
I guess what's hard to understand for myself and for other people is that, geez, all you got to do is go to the website, SoledadMemorial.com, or even go to the actual memorial, and you'll see that there are not just Christians who are most closely associated with crosses, although I've seen people of other religions with crosses on their person. But there's also a plaque here with apparently a Jewish fellow, because I see the Star of David there. So you do have Stars of David up there, right?
Absolutely. This is a non-denominational memorial. We see veterans as veterans. We don't see them as Christians of the Jewish faith, of Muslims, of any particular faith. All veterans who have served in the military for the United States and who have been given an honorable discharge have the right to have a plaque up on our wall. The only requirement is, have served in the U.S. military, honorable discharge, and you're welcome to be honored at Mount Soledad Memorial walls.
What benefit would an organization such as the Jewish War Veterans get from doing this? That's what I can't understand.
I certainly can't answer for them because I don't know. But I have to keep coming back to the idea that in their view, this cross is offensive to them because they see it as the government promoting Christianity. That's the only thing that I can think of. And so therefore, it offends them and they want the cross down. Our position is simply that it is a Latin cross, but it has more meaning than just being a symbol of Christianity. It is a symbol of honoring veterans. That's what we do. That is the mission of Mount Soledad Memorial Association. So that's where we differ. And we're going to have to let, apparently, the United States Supreme Court solve that issue for us.
Has anybody offered to put maybe a Jewish religious symbol up there alongside the cross? Did they ask for that?
No, that's never been brought up. And we have had settlement negotiations with the plaintiffs, and we have not been able to resolve our differences. And so, as I said, we just appealed this case. We appealed Judge Burns' ruling this week to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals up in San Francisco, and we will see what they do with it. Although we know from past history, they have already indicated that the, quote, cross as it is presently situated, end quote, violates the Constitution. And so we anticipate that they will again rule that the cross, as it is presently constituted, is in violation of the Establishment Clause in the Constitution. And then the case will be right to ask the Supreme Court to hear the case, review it, and issue a ruling.
I know that there's a lot of people who are really, like myself, I don't see what they could gain by doing this. It seems like it could only hurt, well, this one fellow, I'm sure he doesn't care, but the organization, which is a shrinking organization, the Jewish War Veterans, it could only hurt the Jewish War Veterans. I can't see why they're doing it. If there are folks listening to this interview that want to help, is there anything they could do?
Well, certainly they can go to our site and they can educate themselves as to what the issues are. Certainly, if they are inclined to make a donation, we would certainly be appreciative of that. But on the other hand, I want to be very clear about this, that this interview is not about donations and or those types of things, that it's merely to educate your listeners as to what's going on out there. And
exactly.
We certainly, meaning the organization, and I can tell you that since this ruling has come down, that we have gotten lots and lots of responses from people all across the country who are saying that they support what we're doing, they believe in what we're doing, and they believe that the cross should remain as part of the memorial. It should remain as it is, just the way it is today, and we'll go forward.
And who's representing the association?
We are represented by two very, very fine groups. The Liberty Institute out of Texas is one of the groups that is helping us work our way through these lawsuits. They came on board a number of years ago. They weren't involved with this until maybe 2 or 3 years ago. We also have a law firm out of Houston, Texas, Morgan Lewis and Boticus. And I can only tell you that between these two very fine groups, we have had excellent representation in this lawsuit. I should mention that the law firm is doing the work for us pro bono. And for you all who don't understand Latin, and I didn't either until years ago, pro bono is they are doing it for free. And I can tell you that they pick up all of their billable hours, all the hours that they spend. They pick up all their airplane fares out here. They have spent quite a bit of money helping us through this lawsuit. And I just want to say personally, and as a representative of Mount Soledad Memorial Association, we're very indebted to these people and very appreciative of their hard work.
That's a wonderful thing they're doing. You know, nowadays, I mean, it seems like the tradition of Christmas and other things are really under attack, and they have been for a while. Do you think that maybe if you're victorious, this could maybe, well, I don't want to say set the clock back, but bring people back to the understanding or belief that, geez, you know, yeah, it might not be exactly what most people want, but this is important to a lot of people here, and it means a lot, and if you keep stripping this stuff away, we're not going to have anything left. Do you think that the cross there could maybe light a spark for the entire country?
Well, you know what? That's a very, very excellent question. And I want to limit what I say to not my personal feelings. I want to limit what I say to what the lawsuit is about. My personal feelings are probably not important, but I will say that there are things that are important to us, and honoring veterans is one of them. And that depending on how we choose to honor them, we should be allowed to do that. And if somebody says that this is a Latin cross and it's a religious symbol, we and I should have the right to say it is not a religious symbol. That's not the reason it was put up there. And that's not the reason it's there today. So if that answers your question, then I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. And that's why we as an organization are working as hard as we can to make sure that we do everything that we can to honor the veterans from the Revolutionary War all the way up through to the present. And we're hopeful, and we are, because we have veterans who have plaques up there who have the same inspiration that we do and that you do. We want that to stay as it is and go forward.
What happens next in the timeline?
Well, the timeline, as I indicated to you, is that we have appealed this, that it is already filed with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Depending on how they handle it, they have three ways that they could go about looking at this issue and this case. Number one, they could have the entire appellate court, 11 or so justices, hear the case and rule on it. They could, secondly, appoint a three-justice panel to hear the case and review it and issue a ruling. Or the Supreme Court, if they wanted to hear the case without having it go through the Ninth Circuit, by that I mean issue another ruling, because they've already ruled against us once, then it is my understanding from the appellate lawyers that this case could then go directly to the Supreme Court and then they would hear it.
How much time do you think this? I know there's no way to tell, but ballpark figure of...
You know, depending on whether it stays in the Ninth Circuit and is heard there and then goes forward, if it does to the Supreme Court, we could be talking another year or two.
Wow.
And I should point out to you that when Judge Burns issued the ruling that the cross come down, he also issued a stay order, which means that that cross, as it presently is not coming down this week, it's not coming down next week. The stay order is effective through the end of the appeals. So whenever the final ruling comes down, and let's assume it's from the Supreme Court, that could be in 2 years. And so that cross will be standing up there, at least through a ruling by the Supreme Court. And we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will rule that the cross is constitutional. And then certainly we are good to go for as long as the cross can stand up there. And I mean physically. It's a pretty strong concrete structure.
Bruce Bailey, the president and CEO of the Mount Soledad Memorial Association. I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners, and looking forward to a positive outcome, and looking forward to also speaking to you in the future.
Thank you very much.